The April 8, 2025 Board of Adjustment meeting shall come to order. Mr. Liaison, would you please call the roll?
Yes. Mr. Norgard?
Present.
Ms. Hammond?
Here.
Ms. Olson?
Here.
Ms. Rogers?
Here.
And Ms. Nguyen?
Here.
You have five. You have a quorum, sir.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So move. Hammond.
There a second?
Rogers.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll take a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. All right, it looks like the agenda is approved. So we'll move on to the minutes from the previous meeting. September 10, 2024 minutes were distributed with the members of the board. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes? All right, seeing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So approve. So move. Hammond.
Hammond, I have a second over here from Alice. Okay, is there any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor to approve, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, minutes approved. Yeah, court reporter, please swear in staff.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. This is case number 119-2025, a request of James M. Powell, attorney, on behalf of Berenson Gage Rentals, LLC, owners, seeking approval of variances to allow the front, corner, side, and rear yard setbacks of Lot 16 of the Meadowvale subdivision, following subdivision of set lot, to become less than those required by Section 29-4.1A, Table 4.1-1 of the Unified Development Code. A concurrent request, Case 120-2025, seeks Board of Adjustment authorization to use cottage optional dimensional standards on newly created Lot 16B, located between the dwellings addressed as 2111-2113 and 2107-2109 Carroll Drive. Said real estate being a tract located in the northeast quarter of Section 4, Township 48 North, Range 12 West, City of Columbia, Boone County, Missouri, being the tract described by the deed in book page 1650, page 623, and shown as Lot 16 of Meadowvale Subdivision in Plat Book 9, page 6, both of the Boone County records, and being more particularly described as follows. Beginning at the southwest corner of said Lot 16, thence with the lines of said Lot 16 north, 0 degrees, 42 minutes, 20 seconds west, 23.35 feet. Thence north, 0 degrees, 42 minutes, 20 seconds west, 111.25 feet. Thence north, 87 degrees, 21 minutes, 35 seconds east, 86.90 feet. Then south, 10 degrees, 31 minutes, 15 seconds west, 97.50 feet. Thence south, 1 degree, 1 minute, 15 seconds west, 18.80 feet. Thence south, 1 degree, 1 minute, 15 seconds west, 25.20 feet. Thence north, 86 degrees, 56 minutes, 25 seconds west, 66.55 feet to the point of beginning and containing 0.23 acres, known as or located at 2111-2113 Carroll Drive. If any board member has something to disclose regarding this case, please do so now. Thank you. Mr. Liaison, has the property, or has the notice been properly advertised?
It has, sir.
Has it been posted with notice of public hearing?
It has, sir.
Have the parties of interest been notified?
Yes, they have.
And have there been any inquiries?
There has been one letter that was provided in front of you in opposition to the request. We'll cover that as a part of our staff report.
Thank you. Would a person making application please come forward to the board, state your name and address, and be sworn in by the court reporter?
Powell, I'm an attorney here in Columbia with an office at 414 East Broadway.
Name and address into the mic.
My name is James M. Powell. I'm an attorney here in Columbia with an office at 414 East Broadway. Appearing here on behalf of the applicant, Barron's Engage Properties, regarding these two companion requests. Also appearing with me is Kevin Schweikert with Brush and Associates, who has prepared the plat and the drawings, and also Eddie Berenson, one of the principals of the company requesting this. Would like to say that we certainly appreciate the time and the effort that the staff and each of you have given to this application that's been filed in advance of this evening, as well as your time this evening and the consideration that you will give this application. At this time, I'd call upon Kevin Schweikert to come and testify as to this application.
Good evening.
Please state your name and swear in.
Kevin Schweikert with Brush and Associates. So basically, we are seeking to do a subdivision plat to create three lots out of two lots, and the lot within the cottage developed standards. So one of those, the small lot in the middle, would be a lot that's developed to those standards. And we are seeking variances for the existing structure that will remain on the northern lot, since upon platting, the granting of street right-of-way to the city creates a situation in which the existing duplex will be within the standard building setbacks. So we have two existing duplexes that are situated upon two lots that have an unutilized area between them that is large enough to accommodate a lot of this type of development, a cottage light, cottage size. And so what we want to do is infill this unutilized piece of ground with a three-bedroom, small, affordable home, a new home. We believe construction of the home on a lot of this size to infill an unutilized area will help with the affordable housing need in our community and in this neighborhood. Upon granting our requested variances, I think the community will benefit in the following ways. And we'll get one additional affordable home will be added to the neighborhood, like I said. Efficient use of resources. We are utilizing land that already has infrastructure in place for something like this. And so no utility extensions nor street extensions to accommodate the development. So we are basically filling in a spot that already has the infrastructure in place, but that infrastructure is not being utilized right now. There will be probably a small sewer line extension to get into the lot, but very short. That would be the only infrastructure extension that I know of at this point. The other benefits, additional right-of-way upon platting, if the variances are created upon platting, to the city for possible future widening of Carroll Drive and Rice Road. So sidewalks are required along the right-of-way upon platting, and both of these requirements will positively impact the public safety. So utilizing and developing unutilized ground where infrastructure already exists is a way to help slow down urban sprawl and help with the shortage of affordable housing within Columbia. We think it's a good idea, and that being said, we respectfully ask for you to grant our request, and thank you for hearing me. Happy to try and answer any questions you might have about the project.
Thank you, Mr. Schweikert. Are there any questions from the board?
I have a question. What's the estimated cost of the new dwelling?
We estimate construction cost of this one will be $225,000 to build. It'll be a new house on this street, so it'll be a nice looking structure comparatively to the others.
So it would sell for?
We think less than $300,000, probably somewhere in the $260,000 to $275,000 range, I believe. Is that kind of what we're thinking, Eddie? About probably between a 1,300 and 1,400 square foot home, three bedrooms is the plan at this point.
So what is the total unsubdivided area of this parcel that's lot 16 currently?
The total unsubdivided area?
Yeah.
Lot 16. Well, it's all subdivided right now. What we're doing is re-subdividing the two lots into one additional lot in the middle. So
your goal is to take some from both lots to create a single?
That's correct. Basically, we have two lots, and it's a long north-south lot. The two structures were built separate from each other, which leaves enough room between the structures to accommodate a cottage-style lot and cottage-style building. So we're just taking the unutilized area and trying to use it to the best ability we can.
So do you know what Rice Road is designated as? What's the designation of Rice Road?
I think it's a thoroughfare. I'm not sure. I think it's just above a residential thoroughfare.
Cars go by a day, you know?
I don't have that information. Carroll Drive would be a residential street, 50-foot right-of-way. I believe on the plat it kind of shows here, but I think it shows a right-of-way width up there that it's wider than 50 for sure.
So the
is needed anyway.
The suggested new front yard setback is measured from Carroll Drive because that's what the hope is, that will be the front yard, actually. Is that correct?
The northern lot, I think, is addressed off Rice Road, if I'm not mistaken. And
I think it's addressed off of Carroll.
Is it off of Carroll? I'll okay. Fill in a couple of the questions that are being asked.
Okay, yeah. So maybe I should save more of my questions for staff.
Are there any further questions?
I just want to know a bit more. You say that the cottage house that's going to be built will be affordable house. So just want to make sure, are you working with, FSH or, FHA to, make sure that it's affordable pricing, stuff like that? Am I understanding it correctly, or I'm not fully,
So doing a cottage style lot and this size of lot would accommodate a smaller structure. And normally when you have a smaller structure on the smaller lot, it's gonna be a less expensive house to afford. And so that's what I was saying, is that we're gonna build a smaller structure on a smaller lot that becomes more affordable at a price range that there's not a lot of houses available in those price ranges, especially new right now. I don't know that you could buy one for that.
Gotcha.
In the city of Columbia.
Yeah, just because I do know that recently housing price been a bit high, expensive, obviously. I want to make sure that the set price is, like you say, you think 2000, $260,000 is the price range. So is that something that, like, for sure will be kept? Like, you know, to make sure that it's affordable, or like it is going to be sell for first-time home buyer, you know, affordable house.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think we're getting into territory that is not really the purview of this particular board.
You know,
it is valuable to ask if it will be affordable, but details of that, I don't know. No problem.
So the front yard setback would be what on the cottage?
Oh, on the cottage, yes, 10 feet.
And so you're planning to put the dwelling at 10 feet from Carroll Drive?
Well, we're getting into the second case, actually. We're focusing on lot 16 at this point and the variances that are being sought. We'll get into the cottage lot and those specifics. They may affect your question or your consideration of this, but lot 16, if it doesn't get approved, case 120 probably will not be presented.
So the variance, the first one is on the already existing structure.
That is correct.
So the purpose of this variant, I guess this is a staff question. I'll wait until we get to that point. So anybody have any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Schweikert. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Please come forward now. None. Is there anybody who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Please come forward now. Right. Seeing none, time for comments from staff.
So I think to answer a question of Ms. Hammond as it relates to Rice Road, I'm sorry, it's been so long we've been together, I haven't, I'm forgetting all your names.
Who are you?
And so Rice Road, if I am not incorrect, is a collector roadway. It's either a collector or an arterial. Therefore, it does have restricted driveway access to it. So there is no driveway connecting to Rice Road for lot 16, the subject of the variance. That is case 119-2025. It is addressed entirely off of Carroll Drive, so it is 2111 and 2113 Carroll Drive. Doors and access, driveway access, come off of Carroll Drive. The size of the lot, to Mr. Norgaard's question, as it exists today, it is just over 10,000 square feet, which at the time that this plat was approved in 1969, if I recall correctly, 69, 67, that would have been consistent with our then R2 zoning standards of a minimum of 10,000 square feet to accommodate the duplex that is currently existing on the property, which was not built until the late 90s. It has been in existence for roughly 28 years.
Can I just interrupt a minute? That's for 2111 or for 2109?
2111 through 2113, which is the subject site of the variance, is a 10,000 square foot lot.
I thought I read 8,370 square feet.
That'll be after, that would be subject to the approval of the replatting action, which is the purposes of case 120 to create the cottage lot. And so if I can back up a little bit on this then. So in 2017, as many of you may be aware, the city adopted its new unified development code. In 2017, the minimum dimensional requirement for a duplex lot, a two-family lot, went from 10,000 square feet to 7,000 square feet. So the lots that are proposed on the document you see in front of you on the screen, which is a three-lot replat, a proposed replat that has not been presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission at this point, has not been presented to the city's staff for formal review. Pursuant to the way that the Unified Development Code is structured, any variances or relief that must be granted as it relates to dimensional standards must be first processed by this body. And then with that recommendation being processed, It is then our, we have the ability as a staff, and the Planning Commission and Council have the ability to approve a corresponding replat. So this is why this is here before you, before it's before anyone else. And then the subject matter of case 120-2025, which is the optional development standard approval for the cottage lot that is being proposed in the middle of these two duplexes, which triggers the necessity for the variances on lot 16 or 2111 through 2113 Carroll Drive. That would also have to be decided before we could take a final platting action to create a 3,000, just slightly over 3,000 square foot lot to the Planning Commission to approve as a part of the plat. So it explains a little bit about why we have two separate cases. We have two separate areas of the code that we have to cover. The first being the variances, because if you don't have the variances on lot 16 as it exists today, there is no possibility of replatting the property as is desired by the applicant. So hopefully that gives a little bit of clarification of why the two cases exist. Ms. Hammond?
So on page 3, staff report, partial paragraph and then full, 1, 2.
Are you talking about the square footages, ma'am?
I am.
That is the first full paragraph on page 3, top of page 3.
Okay. It says lot 16 presently contains approximately 8,370 square feet of lot area, which is compliant with the minimum lot area required by its R2 zoning to support the existing duplex. If the attached replat of lot 16 and 17, am I incorrect? It's not 10,000? I mean, I can't see the 10,000 square feet.
The legal description, so the square footage calculation I made is based off of the legal description that Mr. Norgaard read as a part of this case. So it's a it's a 0.23 acre parcel, which is just over 10,000 square feet. My error in this paragraph. So the parcel as it exists today is compliant. The reduced size is a result of the dedications of road rights of way coming out of the overall acreage and then the division of the property to ensure that we've got adequate minimum lot area. So my error in the 8,370 square feet, that is not correct. It should have been the 10,018 square feet, which is the 0.3 acres.
So, Mr. Zenner, that rear yard setback, there's a variance request on that, it appears. And the question I would have is, did the setback distance change with the UDC? With the rear yard setback change? Is that what's triggering this?
So in 1996, when the home was built, 1996, 1997, it shows up first being assessed by the assessors, I believe, in 1997. At the time that the home was built, apparently our Protective Inspections Department, now Building and Site Development, authorized the structure to utilize the Rice Road frontage as its front yard. And so what is on, as you look at this diagram, what is on the left-hand side of the highlighted area, which would be the buildable lot area if this request is not approved, and the replat were to, if it wasn't approved and our current contemporary setbacks were applied, the western side yard, the western side of the existing structure was considered side. So front was Rice, rear was opposite the front, so and then the other side yard was Carroll Drive. That is a non-conventional application of setbacks, given that the home is addressed off of Carroll and it is accessed off of Carroll. And so part of what the variances are that the applicant are seeking is to reorient the structure to utilize contemporary setback established, setback procedure, which would be to have the front yard to the addressed side and the access side of the structure, rear being the opposite of that, which means now we have front to the east and rear to the west, not front to the north and to the south as it exists today. So that's part of what's going on here. So to answer the question, there was no change in the dimensional requirements of front, rear, or side between after 2017 when the UDC was adopted. So it has always been 25-foot front, 25-foot rear, or 25% of the lot depth, whichever is less, and then side yard setback was 6 feet. So what is proposed here, because it is a corner lot, there is also a corner lot side yard, and that has changed. Corner lot side yard pre-2017 was 1.5 times the required front, which would have put the side yard at a 12.5-foot setback pre-2017. In 2017, side yard, corner side yard setbacks were established at 25 feet. So you have a 25-foot front yard setback today along Rice Road. You'd have a 25-foot front setback along Carroll Drive, and you'd have a 25-foot rear yard setback opposite the Carroll Drive frontage. And that is why you have, you are required, this application is required to receive at least the corner side yard and the front yard. If we consider the home addressed and accessible off of Carroll, the rear yard of where this building is currently sitting is actually equal to the 25% of the lot depth. And so while that request has been made, it is not necessary to be approved. We, however, wanted to err on the side of greatest caution and just have that varied at this point as well, to basically conform the building that exists on this site to the contemporary processes of setback establishment that we do on every other lot. What that does, as stated in the staff report, is it does allow the applicant, should this structure be torn down at their choice, to actually be reconstructed in the current configuration that it is in. If the home were burnt down or lost due to a natural disaster, they would be able to build it right back today without any action, right on the same foundation. So as the staff report points out, the granting of this variance, these variances is actually to more conform the home to our contemporary setback processes that we would normally do in any newer subdivision, to basically compensate for what was done back in 1996, 1997 when the permit was issued for it. It was also pre-2017 that the front yard typically was always chosen to be the narrower side of the property. So there is some historical precedence potentially associated with why Rice Road was chosen as front. However, today we would not apply that, and that has been confirmed by our own planning staff and our building and site development staff. We would not do this. The fire service is fairly insistent that the addressed frontage of the structure is the front yard, and therefore we don't normally do a building like this in contemporary construction. Again, this is a unique situation that because of the excess rear yard of the subject site here in case 119, and then the side yard setback, which was greater than needed on lot 17, which is the existing lot to the south, you create this space, this no man's land, so to speak, was created. And that is what the applicant is trying to utilize for the cottage lot, which is the subject matter of case 120. And we did not have cottage lot standards at the time that this property was originally platted either. So, again, we had another evolution as a result of the UDC in 2017. We created a opportunity for somebody to take a unique situation like this or in a more traditional subdivision that just had oversized lots or excessive depth to be able to come back and a depth or width maybe to come back and actually ask for the board's approval for this type of cottage development that is the subject of 120. But none of the subject matter of 120 can actually occur if the variances that are sought here are not approved. And again,
to briefly summarize, what I hear you say is the front of the house is on Rice Road, but that's not actually the front of the house. It's actually on Carroll.
Yeah, the front of the house was never on Rice. It was always the side. It was always the side of the house. There's
no
access.
The front yard, I should say.
Yeah, the front yard was established on Rice Road.
Front yard is on the side of the house.
Yep.
Okay.
And so if these variances are approved, the new front yard setback would be 18 feet. Is that correct?
Be the minimum. The minimum it would be 18, and that's denoted in the graphic that's on the screen. The measurement that we have is roughly 18 and a half, but that's an approximation. It's not survey grade. You'll notice that the northern corner of the existing structure, which is outside the green area, and the green area is actually the building envelope that would exist on this property in its reconfigured orientation, with front being DeCarroll. So that is the building area that this property would have if we apply contemporary setbacks, front being Carroll, rear being opposite. That's the green box. And you will notice outside of that green box, this is the upper corner. That is the northeast corner of the existing structure. So this corner from the future road right-of-way that needs to be dedicated, the radius that's here, so everything out to the corner here is dedicated right-of-way for the city's purposes. This will actually have a greater setback than the 18, the minimum of 18 that is being sought. The minimum of 18 is to compensate for what is down in the southeast corner of the structure. And that is, and of course, the current rear is basically the 16. It would be 16 feet, and that is just slightly over what is existing with where this, or slightly under what the existing structure is. We typically advise an applicant when they're seeking relief that you give yourself just slightly a little bit of play in order to ensure that you're not going to have to come back to this body again. Hence the reasons why when you look at this drawing and you look at the highlighted clouded dimensions, they are slightly greater than what the applicant is seeking, and that is to give a variation. It's anywhere between 3/4 of a foot to maybe a 1/2 foot, with the exception probably of what you see dimensioned on the southeast corner of the property, which is just, it's about a 1/2 foot as well, dimensioned on our end. It could be slightly less. It could be closer to 18 feet, but those are the variances that are sought and the dimensions accordingly, as stated in the staff report.
It could be slightly less than 18 feet.
No, it will be no less than 18 feet.
And so the green area is, so what's the existing dwelling? Is that the rectangle around?
Yeah, that's
the
rectangle.
Green?
That's this rectangle here. And I apologize for not colorizing the existing dwelling, but the rectangle that's right here is the existing structure.
Okay. And then what's the green?
The green is that's the legal building area if we apply traditional setbacks of 25 front, 25 rear, 25 corner side. And you will notice the clouded number that is in the lower southerly portion of that green box. That is actually the proposed platted side yard with a new lot being created. The current side yard, however, the current property line of lot 16 is where my cursor is here, and that is where the division is. So the current structure sits in excess of 25 feet from the current platted rear lot line, if Rice Road were considered the front.
Okay, so right now, the actual front of the house that is considered the side has a setback of what?
That house has a setback, if I measure perpendicular, it's 18 plus 5, which would be 22, about 22 to 23 feet in the southeast corner. It's probably slightly, it's much greater than that because of the way that the property comes to a point here. But when the replatting action is really impacting how much land area would get absorbed by the road right-of-way and the radius requirements, because this parcel was platted at such a time that we didn't have a lot corner radius requirement either. And so when you take out a lot corner radius, you take out the additional road right-of-way, you're actually taking the entire triangular portion in the northwest or northeast corner of the property, really gets sucked in because we're taking the right-of-way and the radius and everything. So it's well in excess of 25 feet today if you go out to the point. But when you go to the very southeast corner of the existing structure, you're probably only at about 22 to maybe 23 feet. So it was already non-compliant. But you have to recall that they established front on Rice Road when the structure was built. And so the corner side yard would have only been roughly 12 and a half to 15 feet. So the home was compliant based on how the Protective Inspections Department applied setbacks at that time.
And so if the variances are approved, the corner side yard setback would be 16 feet from Rice Road. Is that correct?
From the future platted right-of-way of Rice Road, yeah.
Right. What we're dealing with, the end product, would be 16 feet.
That is correct, ma'am.
I can see how this really hurts your sense of order and organization, Pat. I have a question about the half-width right-of-way that was mentioned in the technical report. What exactly does that mean, and what impacts does this replatting have on that?
So we have specified dimensional standards for all of our roadway classifications within the city. So residential streets are typically a minimum of a 50-foot wide right-of-way, half width being 25 feet from the center line. And the opportunity to be able, when you have a plat or when you have a parcel that is abutting a substandard right-of-way, being less than the required by our appendix in our Unified Development Code, the requisite need for the half-width on the side that the parcel is located has to be dedicated. So that's where the 5 feet along Carroll Drive is coming from. Rice Road, if it is an arterial, it would potentially have a 76 to anywhere upwards of 105 or 110 feet of right-of-way. I don't have that measurement here in front of me, but based on what Mr. Schweikert received from the concept review that this was originally handled, we did do an informal review of the request to provide some general information, and that's what generated the denial letter that was in your packet. So what Mr. Schweikert has shown on this document is what my staff informed him was going to be needed for the required half-width. So I'm not quite sure what that half-width is today or what the platted right-of-way width is, but it would indicate it's substandard. It's a 20-foot wide half-width, so it's a 60. It's going to a 60-foot wide with the additional 10 feet of right-of-way that's being dedicated. So it'd be a 60-foot wide road right-of-way per our road plan, which would be generally equivalent to a local non-residential street. And our traffic engineer gets involved in these things because we also have to look at, well, what are our ultimate plans for road expansion? So there is some variability left at the staff level in which to apply cross-sections. They're not completely empirical, so we have to look at what we have. And so they are ranged. They have ranges. And there may be more right-of-way on the other side of the center line of Rice Road as it exists today that could have been acquired out of platting actions that occurred previously or more contemporarily than this particular subdivision plat. But what our public works staff and our traffic engineer is indicating is they need at least 10 feet of additional right-of-way for Rice. They want the corner truncation, which is why we have a radius on this property now in the northeast. And then we needed the additional 5 feet of right-of-way on Carroll Drive to get it to the minimum 25-foot half-width. But all of those things compounded together actually are why then you have a corner side yard variance. I mean, if you left the home the way it is and they attempted to replat it, you'd have, with the front being Rice, you'd have a front yard variance of an equivalent amount, if not just a little bit more, than what's being proposed by rotating the setbacks to a more conventional application. The sidewalk that Mr. Schweikert referenced, that would be built 1 foot inside the future public right-of-way along the property boundary. So that's not going to conflict with the home. We can't accommodate that within what we would be receiving through a platting action. And then if sidewalk is further constructed along Rice Road at a point in the future, this particular sidewalk segment would be able to be connected to that accordingly.
So currently, do we know if there are sidewalks present on this? I see Mr. Schweikert shaking his head no.
No, there are not. This is one of those areas where we have sidewalk deficiencies that may need to be corrected over time.
So this variance actually would not trigger the construction of sidewalks at this time?
The platting action will require a performance contract and would require the installation of sidewalks within 3 years of platting, unless otherwise waived by the Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council.
And that would be on Carroll and Rice?
It could potentially be on both, but that is it's a request that one, the applicant would have to make for what we refer to as a design adjustment,
okay.
Which we are at this point unaware that they are seeking to request. Though that doesn't necessarily mean the setback issue here is one that gets them to a different point. So if you don't, again, if the setback variances aren't granted, the conditions will not change at all. If the setback variances are granted and the platting were to occur, there is more likelihood that we will get better improvements in this area as a result. So it's balancing out those issues. There is no sidewalk down Carroll or within this particular area around Carroll. And that may become an element if the Planning Commission were asked to consider a design adjustment. I would probably be more inclined to think that there would not generally possibly be support along Rice Road given its classification and the volume of pedestrian movement that probably occurs there today. And that is pretty standard for the Planning Commission. They are really not generally receptive to sidewalk variances on major roadways. Carroll Drive, however, being a minor residential street, would potentially be a viable request, possibly.
So is Rice Road a collector or an arterial?
It would be based on the fact that it would be with a 20-foot existing right-of-way and an additional 10, I would tell you it is a collector,
okay.
Not necessarily an arterial.
And how many cars, is there an estimate of how many cars go past there on that road?
I do not have that specifically, though a collector does have a capacity of a significant number of vehicle trips per day. I don't have that, though, at my ready.
You mentioned there's a setback application inconsistency, and I'm wondering what that is. That's in the relief sought and purposes area.
Mm-hmm. And the setback inconsistency is between what was applied in 1996-97 when the structure was built and what we do today. That is what is meant by the inconsistency.
Oh.
And that is, a lot of that has to just deal with evolution over 28 years of zoning application and development.
Is the yard fenced?
To my recollection, no, it is not. Though there is a fence, if I'm not incorrect, on the rear lot line. What would be the rear lot line or the side lot line today? That is what's depicted on the graphic that Mr. Schweikert has provided.
Okay, well,
that's what
little
the
X's.
Yeah, the X's represent the fence line.
Just for reference, the CATSO map shows Rice Road as a neighborhood collector.
Yep. And that would make sense then. Thank you, Mr. Norgard.
I have a question about the, let's play a little what if game. Let's say we approve this variance, but the next one is not approved. Is this variance required for the applicant to seek a plan development designation?
Well, A, plan development probably wouldn't be welcomed by my planning commission, but B, you could deny both, and they still could seek a plan district, and in the plan district, they could then request specific setback standards to be applied to the acreage.
Okay, that you correctly interpreted what I was trying to say.
just as a context issue, I can tell you based on the responses we have been getting from our Planning Commission with requests for plan development, unless there is some significant exchange of value to the city with a plan development request, they have made a pretty firm public statement that they are generally not supportive of rezoning parcels to plan districts, period. Plan districts are generally intended to be utilized for land-constrained or otherwise impacted properties of some nature, to where preservation maybe of something is offsetting sensitive land areas and shifting development to another location, or we've got some other very significant limitations associated with the property. The venue typically that they would prefer probably actions to go through would be this body in order to resolve these type of dimensional issues versus using the plan district process for that. From a staff perspective, I would tell you I would agree with that general position, though plan districts exist within our code for a reason. There are particular instances in where they are necessary because certain other issues are also trying to be mitigated as a part of that. In this particular instance, I would probably think that a plan district would be a little bit of potential overkill, but that is entirely left to the discretion of this body. That is why this is before you.
What are the other front yard setbacks for other dwellings on Carroll Drive?
They would otherwise be fully compliant. So as you get beyond this corner and this parcel as it exists today, if you looked at the aerial photography or the other locator maps, the remaining lots, and as I describe in the staff report, are more conventional. They're rectangular or square, not rectangular because the subject site's rectangular, they're square. And therefore, the placement of a home on those other lots was more centrally located within them and fully compliant. This, after looking at this and looking at some of the history associated with how our code has evolved, this particular structure was placed on this property in order to allow it to be developed because the property to the west of it, which is still part of a survey tract, was not available at the time that the subdivision for Carroll Drive, Meadowvale, was actually platted. And so you were left with this thumb, so to speak, of a parcel of property that came up to Rice Road. And then you couldn't shift Rice further or Carroll further to the east, because if you had done that, it would have created other issues with the property on the eastern frontage of Carroll. And so what they did, they worked apparently with our protective inspections department, got the setbacks assessed as they needed to, and then went to build the structure to fit on the property. And of course, you know, hence several years after that, almost 30, we have changed our zoning code and we've introduced cottage style lots, which now open up the opportunity for the rear and the side yard of the two subject sites to be able to be maybe more effectively used.
Looking at this aerial photograph, I'm noticing a lot of these parcels have driveways, but no sidewalks. And so I'm wondering if this setback that we're about to grant variance for will create driveways that end up with cars on the sidewalks.
So there is, that is always a possibility. And I think when you look at the reality of what is in this particular area and the likelihood, again, we haven't gotten to that point from a platting perspective, it is potentially more likely than not that a variance request or a design adjustment request may be sought in order to avoid the sidewalks along Carroll Drive. One of the justifications for granting that would be if you are parked in an existing driveway, you'll be blocking that sidewalk that's being required to be installed, and what's the value of that then? Again, the built environment is what the built environment is. So it's some of those factors come into play when the commission does consider sidewalk waiver requests. I think that's a very astute observation, Mr. Norgaard, that we will, if we do build sidewalks along Carroll Drive, you may negate their value because you can't get everything to fit. Now, what I will tell you, and we will talk about this as part of the next case, The minimum setback standard for a cottage lot without a garage is 10 feet as a front yard setback. And so as we talk about the cottage lot that is desired to be created, it meets the minimum design standards. However, we don't allow on-street parking to meet the parking requirements for a residential dwelling. So you either have to provide enough space on your lot to accommodate that vehicle, and that means it's got to be behind the road right-of-way, which, again, keep in mind, we're getting 5 feet of additional right-of-way dedicated for Carroll Drive. Sidewalks typically go 1 foot inside the public road right-of-way, so it will not be on the private drive portion, the front setback, because the front setback actually is measured from the right-of-way line inward to the subject site. It takes 18 feet to park a vehicle legally, and so there's got to be eight more feet of area allocated in the construction plans to accommodate no less than two vehicles to serve the future cottage lot. And so that is, that's something that will have to be addressed as a part of a site plan review for the improvement of that lot should this case and its variances be approved. It may be running through your mind now, well, if we grant these variances, we dedicate this road right-of-way, and we don't have 18 feet of depth beyond where the right-of-way is, and what I have measured, the 18 feet that I have measured from that very southeast corner of this structure, that is from the future right-of-way line. So where that driveway is that is serving the existing duplex that is on lot 16, it is north of that very southernmost portion of the building. There is more than 18 feet inside the future dedicated right-of-way. And to the point of a sidewalk variance possibly being sought and approved, the sidewalk's built inside the road right-of-way. So the argument can be made, well, your parked vehicle, you may only get one vehicle on that driveway inside the right-of-way line. You may need to widen the driveway pad to get two vehicles to support your duplex for each of the sides. That's not my planning commission's problem. That is the applicant's problem, because they also control both of the duplex buildings that are on these lots. So again, I think we will cover all of these other regulatory requirements of making sure parking's met. It's not in the public road right-of-way. A sidewalk is or is not installed, depending on what they ask for, as a part of the future platting and then the future building permit that may be being sought for a cottage lot if that is also authorized by this body. So a lot of those issues are things that we will handle internally as a part of just our regular plan review and building permit process. It's not as though we will just, you know, space out and overlook them as a part of the permit application.
Is there a requirement for driveway width or maximum width?
So we do have requirements within the current Unified Development Code that talk about the amount of paving that is permitted within a required front yard. We do not have minimum dimensional standards for a parking space. So a parking space is minimally 18 feet in depth, 8.5 feet wide. So a parking pad that would accommodate two parking spaces, which is required for each duplex, each side of the duplex, I should say, would have to be at least a minimum then at that point of 17 feet wide by 18 feet deep. Typical two-car garage, just for point of reference, is roughly a 20 by 20. And so that would be probably what the applicant would choose, because you're not going to put just a 17-foot-wide slab of concrete down and expect your passengers to get out and walk on the grass and in the mud and everything else. So they're probably going to pave a little bit wider. All of that being said, that there is a requirement then, and it is based upon the lot width, so there, with the setback, how much can be paved in the required front yard setback. The maximum in the required front yard is a total of, it's 30% of the lot width or a maximum of 500 square feet, whichever is greater. So this is a very long lot, which means it is possible that the maximum amount of impervious surface required in the, being allowed in the required front yard may actually exceed 500 square feet because of the way the provision's written.
Except if these variances are approved and the replats are approved, then the lot is no longer as long.
The lot still will have some significant frontage. The middle one will not. The southern one actually, the southern lot gets slightly narrower, but that's, I think we would have to run those calculations. But the northern lot, the lot that the variances are being sought for, still has quite significant frontage. I mean, Kevin does not have on this document that we're looking at here a dimension based on, well, he does. It's 45 and then another 23 feet, so you're at 77, and then we've got the radius. We've got to the center point of the radius on the corner, which would be lot frontage at that point. About 100 feet, and so 100 feet, and then we take the 25 foot, or what would be 18, would be the minimum front yard. 100 times 18 is 1,800 square feet, if I'm not incorrect. We'd have to go back and we'd have to calculate. I don't think you'll ever get the 1,800 square feet of driveway area. I mean, two 18 foot long 18 by 20s it would be nowhere near maxing out at that. That's 360, so you're looking at probably just over 700 square feet of impervious surface if we needed to widen the existing driveway out in order to be able to have two compliant parking spaces. Because the depth right now of the driveway, probably they're parked tandem, and they probably use the depth of the parcel without modifications.
But that's the applicant's problem, not ours.
Correct. I mean, these are issues that the applicant's here. He's hearing all of this. Obviously, they've got some work in front of them if this is approved for to satisfy the city's standards.
Okay. Very briefly, Pat, we have identified lot 16 in the notice that I read from the agenda, and we're going to grant variances to that lot. But then, through replatting action, they're going to lop off a section. Do the variance, I mean, one's going to be 16A and one's going to be 16B. Do the variances apply to both?
The variance runs with the described land, and so...
That leave a portion of this 16B lot with a variance and a portion without? I'm unclear.
So the way I would view this from a regulator's perspective, you're granting a variance on 16. 16 is coming, and the only way to be able to allow the replat to occur is the modifications have to be made to the subject lot. And so we would be, the documentation, the way I would suggest that the board make this motion is that it is applying to lot 16 as presently platted in the Meadowvale subdivision. However, it is...
And it shall apply to 16A.
If replatted. Or reference the plat that has been attached to your packet as the reference document that we would be referring to.
I just didn't want to create a situation where they have I'm not even sure what we would call that, a side front yard? Or
I don't either, and that's why I think the easier way to handle it is to probably make a clarifying statement in a motion that you do make that it applies to lot 16 of Meadowvale subdivision presently, and then if replatted, it would apply to lot 16A of Meadowvale plat 2 upon approval of a replat.
How could we approve a cottage optional dimensional standards without a replat having been done? Without a lot there. There's no lot there.
So the optional development standards process, which is, again, the subject of 120, case 120, specifically indicates that in order for an applicant to pursue that, to pursue a platting action, the Board of Adjustment must first grant authorization to allow a plat to be recorded using the smaller standards. Typically, what ends up happening, this is a rarity in the regulatory world, this is an R-zoned, R2-zoned piece of property. Most cottage developments that you have had brought before you were either R1, which is our single-family development area, or they were ag, or they may not even have been annexed. And so this is unique in that it has the zoning entitlement already with it.
Wait, wait. We haven't approved any cottage development that has not been R2.
Correct. No, that's what I'm saying. That's what makes
already
this...
Already been R2 when they come to us.
Yes, okay. And they have already had a plat presented to the commission.
Oh, right. Okay.
But they have provided the plat to the Planning Commission for the purposes of assuaging neighboring property owner concerns that it is going to be a duplex development. And by submitting a preliminary plat to the commission that then gets held, we cannot process a plat that shows lots smaller than what the R2 standards are without this body first taking action. So that is why this has not even gone before the Planning Commission yet, this whole concept of a cottage lot. It's because we needed to get the authorization to even show them the document from this body. And because it's zoned R2, it just happens to come to you all before ever going to the Planning Commission. And that's what this is, an odd situation, as I said. It's an odd for a lot of different reasons, but you know, that's just another one of those quirks.
Maybe someone else can help me. So we would approve a cottage designation without a cottage lot.
The cottage lot that you are looking at on the document that is here on your screen, the plat that was submitted, the exhibit that was submitted,
yes,
is what you are approving the cottage lot on. That is the plat then that we will expect to have presented to our staff for Planning Commission approval.
How can we do that when we can't I don't see how we could do that.
That's the described process for optional development standard approval. You're not approving the plat. Let me make clear. You're not approving the plat. You are approving the applicant's use of the optional development standards. That is to create a lot that is less than 7,000 square feet, or I should say less than 5,000 square feet as a single family detached structure, utilizing setback requirements that are less than the standard setbacks of 25 front, 25 rear, and 6 foot side yard. But the side yards are identical between the two different, between cottage and a regular R2 single family lot. So you're really granting, what you're granting authorization to do is to permit a smaller lot to be platted through a associated action of the Planning Commission and Council, and allowing less significant setbacks to apply to that property. The only way we as a staff and the commission and the council can even consider that platting action is you all first have to take action. That does not guarantee the applicant that the Planning Commission nor City Council will approve the plat. So the comments that you have received this evening, which are indicating concern of creating any additional development here on Carroll Drive because of traffic impacts that it may create on Rice Road, that may influence the Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council's consideration of a replat. A replat does have three standard criteria associated with it that will have to be evaluated in addition to our regular subdivision requirements. And the commission, the council has significant latitude in interpreting those three general replat criterion.
But right now we're just talking about the variances.
Yep.
Yeah,
The current case appears to me, hang on a second, it appears to me that we're correcting a legal nonconformity.
I mean, you can look at it that way, but it's a conforming, I would tell you that it is a conforming lot.
It's conforming only because it exists, but if it were to be torn down, then it would be a non-conforming lot, correct? I mean, given the building envelope that
it is
and a 35-foot height limit, I mean, this would be the skinniest
They would probably be before us if they tore the building down on their own. I think our building and site development department would suggest that we need to get this corrected. So we've pushed off a variance for 28 years to today, and it is all being triggered by the fact that they're desiring an extra lot out of the current overall acreage of the two.
Carroll Drive is a dead-end street, correct?
Carroll Drive, if I am not incorrect, does hook up to the west.
Does it?
To the east. I apologize, to the east.
And they can park along Carroll Drive?
Technically, they probably can't. However, historically, they probably always have. The newly created lot would not be allowed to meet its parking requirement by parking on street. They have to have parking on their own lot. We do not allow on-street parking to count for regulatorily required parking spaces.
Carroll Drive is apparently a dead end, though.
Is it a dead end? I thought it went west. I thought it went east. I apologize.
So, so the cottage, if we approve the variances and then the replat, the cottage or the dwelling put on that cottage lot could have a 10-foot front yard setback.
That is correct. However, as I've, the dwelling could, the parking would have to be inset 10 additional feet probably into the building in order to accommodate a compliant parking space for a for the vehicles. So depending on how your building is designed, you may have a parking pad that comes up along the side of the house. It comes 10 feet beyond the front of the home, which is at a reduced setback. Again, part of what the dimensional requirements are for the cottage standard is in your purview as a part of case 120. So you can not agree to allow a 20-foot or a 10-foot front yard, but what has been depicted by the applicant in case 120 is that that is what they are desiring. They are desiring to develop a lot utilizing the minimum setbacks as defined within the cottage R2 standards. But they have to get approval through the board in order to be able to use those dimensional standards. Which again, we've had this same scenario off of Old Plank Road where the applicant wanted a different, a tighter, if I recall correctly, rear yard, and this board did not allow a 10-foot rear yard along an existing developed single-family lot. You required that that rear yard be greater than the minimum 10. You have the ability to do that in case 120 as well.
And were we given the actual dimensions of the cottage lot? I know this is the next case, but I do feel it's important for our decision on this other case.
So the dimensions in the staff report, no. In the drawing that's here before you, they are depicted. So this particular lot is roughly just a little bit under 50 feet in depth. And then it is approximately, if I am not incorrect, 50 feet in depth, and then I believe it's, about 50 by 50. Well, it's going to be a little bit more than a 50 by 50, because if it was a 50 by 50, that would only be 2,500 square feet. So we're probably more like 70 feet, if I'm not incorrect, in width. Possibly. You're 31. Oh, hold on here. One moment, Ms. Hammond. I'll get you that dimension. Shoot, 62. Okay, there we go. About 53 in width. Yep.
Can I actually have you come up and speak that into the microphone so the court reporter can catch it?
Or I could have.
So on the display drawing, if you look there at that lot, there is a detail of that over on the.
I don't have that up, Kevin.
Side. Don't have it. Anyway, it's north-south along the road, 52.60 feet. Get you from what lot quarter to the other. And then depth-wise on the north side, it's 62.10 feet, and after the new right-of-way is granted. 60.60 feet after Carroll Drive.
Mr. Schweiker, could you repeat that last portion for the court reporter? We didn't quite get that over here on the side.
Sure. The south lot line of lot 16B after the new right of way is given is 60.60 feet. North line of lot 16B after the right of way is given is going to be 62.10 feet. West line of the property, I would have to do the math, but it looks to be over 50 feet. And the east line of the property after the new right-of-way is given is 52.60 feet.
So the amount needed for a driveway that meets the requirement is how much?
So the depth of a driveway, the depth of a compliant parking space is typically 18 feet.
Yes.
So you're going to have 10 feet of front yard outside, so that's outside of the right-of-way. Okay. So that's 10 feet from the new right-of-way line to the face of the home. You'd have to go into the, so what you see here depicted on the drawing that's on your screen now, the dashed line that is here is the building envelope. So the building that would be proposed to be built goes in the dashed lines.
And that envelope is based on current setbacks?
Based on the minimal setbacks for the cottage standard. So it's a 10-foot front yard, a 10-foot rear, 6-foot sides. So this building envelope that you see as dashed lines is based on the minimal setbacks. If the minimal setbacks are approved as a part of case 120, what they would be required to accommodate is they'd have to come in to the building envelope an additional 8 feet in order to have an 18-foot deep space, which means that the building would probably have a notch in it. Now, if you were to require that a garage be put in, and I think I made this statement in case 120, if there was the intention of a garage, you would have automatically had a 20-foot front yard setback. So it is assumed, based on what is depicted on the graphic, that there is no desire for a garage, but that does not mean that they are free and clear from having to provide a compliant parking space outside of the public road right-of-way.
And so you can still get a 1,300 or 1,400 square foot dwelling then?
Well, we're looking at a 3,100, just under 3,200 square foot total lot. If we take out the setbacks on that lot, 50 feet wide by 50 by 10 times 2, 1,000 square feet, and then 6 by 60, times 2. So the setbacks required on the cottage lot would be roughly 1,720 square feet. If you subtract that out of the total lot area of 3,190, bear with me. Hold on here, my calculator's not agreeing with me. Hold on. It's about a 1,470 square foot footprint that would be left inside the buildable area.
And that accounts for the driveway that's required?
1,470 square feet is what would be inside the dashed area. Take out roughly an 8 by 20 out of that, another 160 square feet. And so you're about 1,310. So it's a 1,300. Now, that is a single-story home as well. I mean, so quite honestly, they could make the footprint smaller to increase the yard area and go to a second story. They could do a story and a half. It's entirely left up to render and gauge as to what they would like to put on this. These are, if I'm not incorrect, two-story duplexes at this point. So if you're trying to match the existing contemporary construction out there, it may be a very small footprint two-story home. Again, the merits associated with the cottage lot we can get into in the next case. What I would tell you is from our perspective, really, as I think Mr. Norgaard has pointed out, we're looking at correcting the issues associated more so with the non-conforming nature of the corner of existing lot 16, or as I pointed out, the inconsistency in how our setbacks would be applied contemporarily. We're not changing really anything ostensibly within the built environment. Actually, we're probably helping to ensure that built environment is maintained long term by legalizing how the building currently sits on the property to allow an exactly similar building to be reconstructed should there be a need to do so at some point in the future.
Is there anything in the comprehensive plan that addresses the visual from the street of the line of houses?
Not in the comp plan specifically. So, I mean, there is, we do, and so with the cottage lot being forward, if we're talking about the cottage lot being forward of the existing two duplexes, the only provision that I can tell you, there's nothing in the comp plan, the only provision that exists would be utilizing the median front yard setback calculation on a developed block, something very similar that we occasionally run into when we're in East Campus, Ben Stevens, or another developed area where you would stair step the setback from, you would determine what the median setback is on either side of the undeveloped lot, and that the median then would become the setback of the lot to be developed.
So in this case, if we grant the variances, lot 16A would be 18 feet front yard setback, lot 17 would be 25 foot, and lot 16B could be 10 feet.
Let me tell you, and if you were to apply, the median, so you subtract that off, 25 minus 3. So if we were to take a more graduated approach from the corner of Rice and Carroll going south, 18, 21 and a half would be the median setback of the two developed parcels to 25. And so that would be the way to basically grade down the noticeable variation if you were to consider a 10-foot front yard as it relates to the cottage standard. That would, of course, put the home forward of anything else that's on the block. At a 21-and-a-half-foot front yard, you're 1.5 feet over what the minimum is if a garage were attached. So, I mean, I think the board would have to give some consideration to that as a part of case 120 as to how would you want to manipulate potentially the front yard requirement on a standard cottage lot if they were just to put a garage on. Do you want that to be at the median? Again, if you want median calculation, which we did not, that's not something that was discussed within the staff report. It was not something that in preparing it we really had given contemplation to, because what they were asking for was consistent with what the dimensional requirements were. I would strongly recommend in case 120 that you ask that staff apply the median front setback as defined within the UDC. What that would then require the applicant to do is to adjust the construction plan accordingly, and it would reduce the building area slightly, but what that would also, to compensate for that, you may need to go to a second story. So, I mean, again, this is all in the applicant's wheelhouse as to how they decide they want to design a future structure on this property, but it is all driven by the Board of Adjustment's willingness to allow the optional development standards to be implemented on the site in question. That's why it comes to the board. And then it is all predicated, of course, on the case that we're discussing for present lot 16 and the granting of those variances.
So would you, if the median front yard setback for the cottage were it all approved, is 21 and a half feet. What does that leave for the cottage envelope?
That's going to take about an additional 11 feet off of the depth of that of the building envelope at this point. 11 by 50, so take 12 out of that. Okay, so 50 minus 12. That's a 38-foot. That's a 38-foot wide building envelope. Right now, it is that's 60 feet in depth. It'd be 40 feet. Take 11 off of that. 11. It's 11. 38. That's an 1,100 square foot building envelope at that point. And if a two-story structure is to be built, that's still a 2,200 square foot home. Again, the footprint may be able to be adjusted. You have to take out about 160 square feet. Well, you wouldn't have to take out any of that building area then, of that buildable area, because at that point, the required parking pad would be more than sufficient to accommodate the vehicles. The depth from the right-of-way line. So a two-story structure would be roughly 2,200 square feet, which would probably be greater than any structure along Carroll Drive right now. That's not a duplex.
Any Welcome. Further questions from the board? All right, seeing none, would the applicant, Mr. Powell, Mr. Schweikert, anybody want to come back up and make any comments? Okay, we're passing. All right, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. Mr. Craig, would you like to interject anything from the legal perspective?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just two matters. First, I'd like to introduce into evidence City's Exhibits 1, 2, and 3. Exhibit 1 being certified copies of Chapter 29, specifically 29, Article 1, Section 11, Definitions and Rules of Construction, Chapter 29, Article 4, Section 1A, and accompanying Table 29-4.1-1 Dimensional Summary Table, Chapter 29-6.3 Standard Regulatory Procedures, and Chapter 29-6.4 Specific Regulatory Procedures. Exhibit 2 being a staff report, and Exhibit 3 being public hearing, advertisement, parties in interest notice, and parties in interest list.
So moved.
Thank you. And secondly, the matter before the board here today is a variance. And I think this speaks to what the chairman said earlier about the scope and purview of this board. The decision you make on the variance is limited to in scope to the following criteria, which is located in Chapter 29, Article 6, Section 4, Subsection D2, criteria for approval. I'll go ahead and read that into the record and for the benefit of the board in its entirety now. The board may approve an application for a variance from the terms and provisions of this chapter if it determines that all of the following are true. A, the variance is required to address practical difficulties or unnecessary hardships related to the shape, size, terrain, location, or other factors of the applicant's site. Those difficulties or hardships are not generally applicable to the property in the area, and the difficulties or hardships were not created by the actions of the applicant. B, the variance will not have the effect of permitting a use of land that is not indicated as a permitted or conditional use in Section 29.3.1 permitted use table in the zone district where the property is located, nor shall a variance be granted to modify a standard that operates as part of the definition of any use. C, the variance will not permit a development that is inconsistent with the adopted comprehensive plan. D, the variance is the least change from the requirements of this chapter necessary to relieve the difficulty or hardship. And E, the variance will not harm the public health, safety, or welfare, or be injurious to other property or improvements in the area where the property is located. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, board, any comments or discussion? I will just go on record as saying that it does appear that this, I wouldn't call it a difficulty necessarily, but it is a challenge that was created by previous city staff at some point in time. It is an unusual plot. For that reason, it does, in my vision, meet criteria one. The only one I really actually have an issue with is the fifth one, where we're not creating harm to the public health or injurious to other property. This is difficult because we are creating a variance to allow a nonconformity to now exist as a legal nonconformity. But then it's going to go to the next case where we're going to discuss platting action, a conditional use permit that is going to allow a platting action, which will now change the nature of that lot. And so it is a little challenging from my perspective to actually hear this case.
I still have the question about approving the cottage designation before there's an actual plat. Help me with this.
So what, I mean, that's not a part of this case, though, and that's...
It is, why, it is.
I mean,
actually,
I agree with you in a sense, yeah. But also... From the technical standpoint, it's not.
Well, and so going to your non-conforming lot, that is a legal non-conforming lot. It can stay there forever and not be a problem. So it's not of any necessity to approve these setbacks, except that there's wanting to be a cottage designation and replat coming up. So they both are completely intertwined. And I don't think we need to do the first, but if we want to do the second, we need to do the first. And I don't know that we need to do the second just because the first wants to get done. No help.
Further comments? All right, I'm going to make a motion. The affirmative that we approve the request by James Powell, attorney on behalf of Barons and Gage Rentals, seeking approval of variances to allow the front corner side and rear yard setbacks of lot 16 of the Meadowvale subdivision. Actually, I'm going to have Pat read the actual dimensional requirements that we were going to place on it. And I would also like to add that this is going to apply to lot 16, and if it is replatted, it would subsequently apply to plot 16A, as shown on the preliminary plat map that we've been given.
But would it apply to B also?
No. Would you read that?
Read that back for you all?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would until it's replatted to A and B.
Well, 16B doesn't currently exist.
Right.
16 currently exists, so we would apply it to 16.
Yes.
And then upon replat, it would be applied to 16A.
So a motion has been made, and for confirmation of that motion, the motion that has been made is to approve the requested variances to the front corner side and rear yard of lot 16 of the Meadowvale subdivision as depicted on the proposed final plat of Meadowvale subdivision plat 2 dated February 25th 2025 and submitted as a part of your packet. And should said variances, or should said lot 16 be replatted, variances sought would apply to lot 16A only. Variances would be to allow a front yard setback of no less than 18 feet, a rear yard setback of no less than 16 feet, and a corner side yard setback of no less than 16 feet. Is that a correct motion?
That sounded correct to me. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Is there any discussion on the motion before we take a call?
Oh, Olson.
Olson. All right, seeing none, Mr. Zenner, would you please call the roll?
A motion has been made and seconded to approve the variance on lot 16 of Meadowvale Subdivision to adjust the required front, corner side, and rear yard such that the front would be no less than 18 feet, and that is to the Carroll Drive side, the rear opposite front to be no less than 16 feet, and the corner side yard, that is the yard adjacent to Rice Road, being no less than 16 feet. Mr. Norgaard.
No.
Ms. Hammond?
No.
Ms. Olson?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
No.
And Ms. Wynn?
Oh, no.
Four votes against, one vote in favor, motion fails.
Shall I proceed?
Would you like us to proceed? And then we should ask the applicant because it is the applicant's next application. Value. The applicant has stated that they would like to withdraw the second application on this evening's agenda, which is case number 120-2025, which would have been a request for optional development standards approval. With that request being withdrawn, there is no further business for the board to consider this evening. Staff does not have any comments other than to let you know that there will not be a meeting in the month of May. It is possible we will have an application for the month of June for an actual cottage development that has gone through the city's zoning process because it needed to be annexed and it is being proposed R2. It does have a preliminary plat that has been reviewed, but is pending council approval until this body has rendered its decision on the optional development standards approval. We will keep you informed if that does come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Powell and Mr. Schweikert. All right, is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak? You have an opportunity. Are there any other items the board or staff wishes to discuss?
So I just want to say this was very difficult. And the I think the intention of increasing density is good, but I don't think the process is here yet. And you know, we're charged with looking at hardships. And I don't think it met the criteria for us to approve this variance. But and I never did say, but put 16 feet from Rice Road with all the traffic that goes by could be quite dangerous for children. But that's water under the bridge at this point.
Do we have a motion to close the meeting?
I'll make a motion to close the meeting. Olson.
Second.
Alice, second. Okay, meeting adjourned.